May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be of good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. The text of our sermon today comes from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 7 and 8. When thou seest the naked, thou shalt cover him, and from thine own flesh hide thyself not. Then shall thy light break forth like the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily. Throughout the Word, from Genesis through Revelation, we are taught that since the fall of man, the nakedness of evil should be covered. When the man and his wife disobeyed the Lord and saw their nakedness, they covered themselves with fig leaves, and then Yehovah gave them skins for clothing. And in Revelation, the Lord counseled the church of Laodicea to buy of him white garments that they may be clothed, that the shame of their nakedness would not appear. Yet we also find places in the Word where the nakedness of evil is uncovered. From the fall of man in Genesis to the judgment on the harlot of Babylon in the book of Revelation, the lewd and perverse nature of evil must be known and acknowledged so that we can shun and remove it from our lives and minds as far as possible. And so Nahum prophesies against Nineveh. Woe to the city of bloods! I will uncover thy skirts upon thy faces. I will show the nations thy nakedness and the kingdoms thy shame. If evil were to remain hidden within a false facade of goodness, the Lord could not enter in with his healing and salvation. And in the book of Isaiah, it says, there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no longer be called tender and delicate. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, even thy shame shall be seen. Our Redeemer is Yehovah of armies. The need to both clothe the nakedness of man, but also to know about and acknowledge it, especially our own nakedness, can be seen in the words of our text. When thou seest the naked, thou shalt cover him, and from thine own flesh hide thyself not. This can also be seen in the story of the man and his wife when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In explanation of this story, we read in the Arcana Celestia that by knowing that they were naked, it signified their knowing and acknowledging themselves to be no longer in innocence as before, but in evil. For where there is no innocence, nakedness is scandal and disgrace, because it is attended with a consciousness of thinking evil. Yet we also read that they still retained something of natural good, which was represented by making aprons of fig leaves to cover their nakedness. For we read later in the Arcana Celestia, number 224, that they who are in natural good are of such a character that they hide themselves through fear and shame because they are naked, while such as are destitute of natural good do not hide themselves because they are insusceptible of shame, concerning of whom we read in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, for they knew not how to blush. Therefore, I will surely gather them, says Yehovah. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf has fallen. And again in Isaiah chapter 3, the obstinacy of their faces answers against them. They tell their sin as Sodom. They conceal it not. Woe to their soul, for they have recompensed to themselves evil. We are taught that the essence of charity toward the neighbor is the affection of good and truth, and the acknowledgement of self as being evil and false. Yes, the neighbor is good and truth itself, and to be affected by these is to have charity. And specifically by the naked are meant those who acknowledge that there is nothing of good and truth in themselves. From the Arcana Celestia, 4956. We see this illustrated in the story of Noah and his drunkenness. His two sons, Shem and Japheth, heard about and acknowledged their father's nakedness, yet they did not look upon it, but walked backward and covered him. This was indeed an act of charity, for the Lord said to those on his right hand, that is, to those in charity, I was a sojourner and you gathered me, naked and you clothed me. And when they asked when they had done this, he responded, "As much as you have done it to the least of these, my brothers, you have done it to me." The clothes with which nakedness is covered are the truths of the word. For with these truths, we can amend our life and thus cover our shame. This is not the hypocrisy of the daughter of Babylon, who covers herself in scarlet and crimson so that she might appear tender and delicate. For the truths of the word expose this kind of nakedness, and yet in many ways also cover this nakedness as well. For the word has a way of showing us our evils, and yet at the same time covering these evils. We need to read the word, to study the heavenly doctrines in order to understand and acknowledge the nature of these evils. But the Lord is not asking us to become caught up in their mire of actually thinking of the sordid particulars of the evils themselves. Like the sons of Noah, we must walk backward with clear truths from the Lord's words in our hand and over our shoulder, with all our strength, cover such nakedness. We are not to go into lurid detail and make such subjects a matter of daily conversation, for this tends to impute the evil to those who have fallen into it, rather than to help them get out of it. Also, evils, especially foul and perverse evils, are far more powerful and contagious than we can imagine. They are subtle and deadly. These evils seduce and contaminate our minds and remove modesty and decency and even a sense of shame. As in Zephaniah said of Jerusalem, "Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. He who is perverse knows no shame." The heavenly doctrines speak of many perversions. They reveal the lewdness and shameful evils, and yet they do not dwell on these in such a way to excite lasciviousness or familiarity. For example, in conjugal love, in speaking of those in the lust of defloration, it says, "Being violators of marriage and despisers of the female sex, and thus spiritual robbers, it is plain that the divine nemesis pursues such men." These truths from the Lord open the infested wound, clean up out the corrupted matter, and just like a surgical operation, it is done as quickly and decisively as possible. And in this way, the Lord's oil and wine, his love and truth, may enter in and the wound might be bound up and healed. And in this very chapter, we find some of the most beautiful teachings about the importance of virginity and the innocence that leads up to marriage and the inmost conjunction between a husband and a wife. The story of Sodom and Gomorrah exposes one of the worst evils that infest the human race. And yet it also does this in such a way that the lewdness and perversity is covered by the Lord's swift judgment on these cities. It is a temptation to dwell in Sodom, on the walls, so to speak, and to linger on this wall, even when we have been warned to flee. It is a temptation to look upon this evil in an impartial way, to speak of it publicly, or put names to it which bring affectional ties, and in a way that gives it room to increase and convince. In an effort to excuse and help someone out of evil, we can end up excusing the evil itself and actually imputing it to the one we seek to help. But as Lot and his family lingered, the angels took them firmly by the hand and led them out of the city and warned them not to look back. It is so tempting, after clearly seeing something to be evil from the word, to start questioning this, to take a new look from experience, and then from this to look again at the teachings of the word and question them. But the Lord warns us in the Gospel of Luke of the danger of profanation and returning to reconsider in this way. "In that day, whoever is upon the housetop and his vessels in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And he who is in the field, let him likewise not turn around to what is behind. Remember Lot's wife." This necessity of not dwelling on such things or getting into details about them, but seeing them from the word for what they are and moving along, can be seen in the Arcana Celestia when explaining the internal sense of the sad story of Lot and his daughters, which takes place after his wife is turned into a pillar of salt for looking back upon Sodom. After a brief summary of the internal sense of the verses of this story, we are given the following teaching. that the things now set forth are signified in the internal sense can be confirmed, and indeed as to each word. But most of them have been confirmed before, and besides, they are such as do violence to our ideas and to chaste ears. Even the Lord, in revealing the internal sense of the story in His Word, chooses not to dwell on the details of this subject, and yet says enough to reveal the hellish nature of this form of adultery and the absolute need to fight against it and remove it from our lives and the life of society and come to the aid of those who have been wounded by it. We must not lose our sense of decency. We need to know and acknowledge these evils. They need to be found out and removed, and yet at the same time we must watch that we are not lured into the sordidness of such detestable things. We are taught in the heavenly doctrine that the one of the damages done by these perverse acts is the loss of modesty. When we or someone we know has been a victim of these evils, it is easy to uncover the nakedness of this evil in an immodest and indecent manner. It has been argued that opening up such things, bringing them out in the public, will help those who have been wounded. And yet the words of our text teach something else. When thou seest the naked, thou shalt cover him, and from thine own flesh hide thyself not. Then shall thy health bring forth speedily. Or as Absalom said to his sister Tamar, after she was violated by her half-brother Amnon, be silent now, your brother is he. Do not set this thing to your heart. Enough was said for a judgment to be made, but sad as Tamar was, she should not dwell on it or set it to her heart. We must not hide from our own flesh. We must acknowledge the nakedness of the situation, but we must also seek to remedy it and put it behind us or others whom we seek to help. We need to bind up the wound with the cloth of the Lord's truths so that it may heal. But we are not speaking here of false and temporary healing accomplished by hiding the evil deeds and allowing them to continue undiscovered. This is warned against by the prophet Jeremiah in these words. They have healed the hurt of my people only superficially, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Thus says the Lord, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Stand ye in the ways and see, ask for the paths of eternity, where the good way is, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. A true and lasting healing and peace can be given, but not without acknowledging the evil of what has happened, not without seeking the path to heaven, the good way taught by the Lord Himself, and walking therein. The truths of the Lord's second coming are indeed wings that cover, protect and heal us from the shameful evils which seek to pollute and contaminate our minds and lives. The nefarious, unspeakable deeds of hell are constantly seeking to break forth into the world, into the open, into men's minds and conversations, so that we will gradually no longer see their nakedness nor perceive their foul stench. The sense of smell gradually fades in the presence of a constant odor. Even the most nauseating smell can soon become imperceptible if it surrounds us for too long. Therefore, to rescue us from these fears which pervade the Christian world, the Lord has given us the truths we need to both see and cover the openings from which these spiritual poisonous fumes emanate. And yet when the heavenly doctrines reveal these hellish things, they often call them nefarious, unspeakable, unmentionable, lest in revealing them in detail we become infected. In one place in the spiritual diary, where it describes only in general the evil of child abuse, it then goes on to say, these things are not proper to speak of in public, lest they come into man's thoughts. Too often in the world around us, in the name of decency, people speak in an indecent manner. In the name of modesty, speak of unchaste things openly. For the purpose of helping young people, much of the instruction in the world is entered into things which should be reserved for after marriage. This can be seen clearly in the work Conjugal Love, in number 502, where we find a beautiful description of the state of a virgin before marriage and that of a wife after marriage, given in beautiful and chaste imagery. These truths can serve both as wings to protect and clothing to heal young men and women, preparing for an eternal covenant that looks to the Lord. And we note carefully how the passage ends, that the state is the same with virgins and wives on earth when joined to their husbands at the first omens is no secret. What virgin can know that new state before she is in it? Inquire and you will hear. It is different with those who before marriage catch allurement from learning. Instead of learning which would cause allurement, the approach given to us by the Lord is much more straightforward. A bridegroom cannot enter into the chamber of a virgin till she becomes his bride, for she shuts the door and keeps the key to herself within. But when the virgin becomes his bride, she gives the key to the bridegroom. There are times when it is necessary, when actual evils have occurred, that we may need to enter into the subject in more detail than we would wish. But this is not to be a public matter and a subject for social conversation, especially around and among young people, for the simple reason given in the spiritual diary, lest they come into their thought. Also, more public, something becomes, the harder it is for someone to separate from that evil. At times, for legal reasons or for protection of the innocent, things are made public. But in general, it is a matter for private instruction. In such instruction and counseling, many teachings of the spiritual diary, which expose the dire nature of certain perversions, can actually help in opening and healing deep and infected wounds. The Lord does indeed teach us about these things. They even include warnings and stories in the Word, which the Lord has often accommodated for children. We must be warned of the evil of Sodom, the lasciviousness of Babylon, but we are not to dwell in these cities. The Lord has exposed the nakedness of evil through his truth, and he covers it with the same truths. If we hear about something lewd or shameful, if we can be of help, let us take the truths we have learned and walk backward in covering the nakedness of those who are willing to receive. When he sends his angels to Sodom and finds us on the wall, let us admit our desperation in the same shameful situation. Let us take his hand and flee the city and not turn back. The Lord sees into every perversity and shameful deed. There is nothing hidden from the light of the Lord's truths. He knows its nature, and he has revealed to us what can heal, cover, and save. When thou seest the naked, thou shalt cover him. From thine own flesh hide thyself not. Then shall thy light break forth like the morning, and thy health shall bring forth speedily. Amen. Now to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one only God of heaven and earth, be glory and dominion forever and ever.